This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I don't think you're crazy if you think the Niners shouldn't sign Brock. I think you're crazy if you think they shouldn't sign Brock and you don't have an answer as to what they should do.
Yeah.
What do you want them to do at quarterback?
Well, it's either free agency, draft, or elevate your backup, which is free agency, crapshoot, draft, PTSD, elevate your backup. You got to be bleeping me. So, for me, you look at other contracts. Jordan Love, 4 year, $220 million,
yep.
55 per, signing bonus is $75 million. So that $75 million gets prorated over 4 years, and that becomes a deal that's much more workable if you have two more years of Brock. And again, it wouldn't kick in next year. Next year, you got bargain Purdy, and then high-paid Purdy, at which point, if you structure it right, after three more years, you might think, you know what? He's hit his ceiling. This isn't good enough. At that point, you can make a move.
Rolando in Napa is next up. Hey, Rolando, thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just got off of work, and I want to chime in my two cents. I love listening to you guys, and you guys make all the daily traffic of the Bay Area go away. So I want to thank you guys. You guys do awesome work.
Appreciate you for listening, Rolando.
So here, I think you said it, Mark, a couple of days ago. Like, I don't want to hear if... To me, like, I'm trying to be as loyal as a diehard Niners fan, but I try to be realistic. Brock Purdy is a quarterback. I don't want the Niners to F this deal up. You know, I don't want to, because I think you said a couple of days ago, Mark, like, this contract should be done right now, because I'm telling you guys now, that I better not hear any rumblings that during draft in April where, this contract's a standstill. The Niners are looking to trade up, or rumblings about Aaron Rodgers. No. I want the Niners to do what they did with Jamar Lawrence. Get the contract done out the way. I think this should be done at least before the season is done. That's what I think. And you know what? People are complaining about the money. Well, it's not your money. So, you know, accept it. That's what I think. And I want your guys' opinion on that, where I think they should get the contract done, because I don't want the Niners to really F this up. We're going to late August. My fear is July, August contract are far apart. I don't want to hear that, because now we're dealing with another Brandon Ayuk situation. He's not in training camp. He's not with working with receivers, and just snowball effect. And here we go again. So that's what I think. I want your guys' opinion on that.
Rolando, I don't know about dibs. I'm with you. I hope, you know, we talk about PTSD. I hope the Niners have PTSD over the last two off seasons. Good Lord, if we're talking about this next August, the Niners deserve to be ripped.
Well, even April, and I was just looking at the dates in the NFL, because your first voluntary mini camp comes up in April.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is not buttoned up in April, I don't want to hear from the Brock Purdy camp that he's not going to go to voluntary mini camps, because that's when quarterbacks make connections with receivers. That's where a lot of the early foundations for seasons gets created. So if you're the quarterback and you're the leader of the team, and he is, You want him buttoned up before you get to April, and God forbid this is still unresolved heading into the draft, because he's right about, you know, getting into the draft. It's like, who could the Niners maybe draft at 11 to come in and replace Brock if he's going to hold out?
I mean, who wants to go through that? That sounds like a screwdriver in the ear, honestly. You want to do that, or you want to give $30 million a year for 3 years for Sam Darnold and hope that he looks the same with the Niners as he did with the Minnesota Vikings? I don't even know if he's going to be available.
Right.
Like, is that your answer? You know? And by the way, this idea, again, this is sort of a moving target. The idea of, quote-unquote, a down year. Like, if Brock Purdy is actually having a down year, to me, that would suggest that you think he's incredible. Because if this is what a down year looks like, then that's all the more reason to sign him. He's still well over, not where you want him to be, but his touchdowns are well above his interceptions. He's still, no matter whose numbers you take, he's a top 10 rated quarterback in the NFL this year. Like, he's sitting there right next to the likes of Jaden Daniels and Kyler Murray and C.J. Stroud and Sam Darnold and Patrick Mahomes in terms of yardage and their ratios. Not the ratios for Sam. His are off the charts. He's having a great year. But if this is what a, quote, down year looks like, then I want that guy. I want this to be, if this is the down year, because it's the only reason we think it's bad, I'd argue, is because of what you're comparing it to,
right?
Of himself.
Top five in the MVP last year, not as good this year. So were any of us thinking at all that he was going to match last year? Last year was one of the 20 best seasons by a quarterback ever, according to quarterback rating and so many of the metrics where he led the league in so many other categories. So there was going to be a step back, and he probably took two steps back, and at least part of it was because he didn't have the same talent around him. The offensive line wasn't as good. I don't think the scheme and the head coach were as good. The schedule was tougher. These are reasons, not excuses. But all of that put into the witch's brew, and you stir it up, and you go to serve it. What you're serving is the team still wants him around. It wasn't such a step back that the team is like, whoa, red flag city, we got to do something else.
Well, we just get, look, this is fantasy football, and it's also machismo, I think. We get into this slot of, like, comparing him to other quarterbacks. And I just, I don't know if that's really productive or the way it actually works. You know, if we're able to just draft anybody each year, if we could sign Josh Allen, sure, that'd be wonderful. If we could have Lamar Jackson, that'd be fantastic. Those things are not available. And Brock Purdy is well better than some sort of consolation prize. He is a top half of the league starting quarterback. Is he the best? No. But I don't want, that's not what I'm going for. I'm not trying to get to the end of the year and say, we've got the best quarterback. No, I want to win the Super Bowl. I want to win the Super Bowl. And those two things are not always the exact same thing. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are battling for the MVP this year. Neither one of them can win when it gets to the playoffs.
Neither one has been to a conference championship game, I don't think. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson?
Lamar, well, that was the conference championship game last year, no? Or am I wrong on that?
Oh, Kansas City, Baltimore, you're right. Kansas City, Baltimore. My mistake.
Yeah.
If you want to run Brock out and you're just dead set on doing something else, do yourself a favor and go to SpotTrack and look at the 2025 free agent quarterback list. In order of how much they make this year, Sam Darnold is number one. He makes $10 million this year. He's the highest paid quarterback who will be a free agent. Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Jacoby Brissett, Taylor Heineke, Marcus Mariota, Drew Locke, Andy Dalton, Justin Fields. I think you get my drift. There is nobody who is going to be a free agent who is better than Brock Purdy. So then, let's go to the draft. And the Niners right now are picking somewhere in the teens. So if you are in love with one of these college QBs, they're going to be gone.
Yep.
So maybe the Niners could package two first-round picks and move up, Mark, and draft. So what are we talking about here?
Get out of here with it, yeah.
Get out of here.
Sam in Oakland is next. Hi, Sam. Thanks for calling.
Great show, fellas. I'm thinking, you know,
You know, you're going to have to, the Niners have no choice. They have to pay this guy top dollar. If that's $60 million for 5 years, 4 years, that's just the way it is. That's the rate to get on the bus. Look at what guys are getting in baseball. Soto's getting $800 million. He's not a good base runner. He's not a good outfielder. Why is he getting the money? Because of his youth. So Purdy and his agent are saying, we need to capitalize on your youth right now. We need to max you out right now. And when people say he's going to get a pay raise, you're just going to insult this guy and make him mad. And you don't want to make a nice person mad like him. He's a nice person. Don't confuse that with weakness when you can get away with something, because then you're going to see a side of him that you've never seen before. And you don't want to see that side. That's a side that he doesn't want to show people because he's a nice person. But you're going to insult him and disrespect him and take his niceness for weakness. And he's going to show you what a mean person can look like. And when it comes down to your team, you're going to pay the price. And as far as Sam Darnold, I think the Niners should have kept both of those guys. And unfortunately for Brock, he is short, and he's not going to be able to put the points up and do the things that Sam Darnold did because he's tall. Last year when Sam Darnold was competing against Purdy, I'm a fantasy football guy. I was seeing the way Sam Darnold was on Ayuk's fingertips all day, every pass, and I'm thinking to myself, we got Brock Purdy. He's awesome, but if I was going to coach and I could do it, I would put Sam Darnold in. I said the same thing in the Super Bowl. We got Purdy. Put Sam Darnold in. I know it sounds nuts, but he's going to put more points up. I honestly think we would have won the Super Bowl last year had we kept Darnold, and we would have done a lot better this year.
Sam, you have some interesting points in here. Thank you very much for calling. I do not see Sam Darnold the same way you do, because I think it's just hard for me. It's hard for us to sort of take into account the situations that exist. I would more look at it this way. If Brock Purdy were in Minnesota this year, I think his numbers would be huge. He's got a phenomenal offensive line. He's got a phenomenal, healthy receiving core. He's got a really good offensive coach. So does Brock Purdy, but Kyle has not had a good year. First of all, they could not have kept Sam and Brock. Sam was not going to stay. He's blocked out from playing here. He went to a place where he knew he had a shot to play, and look what has happened. He's made himself a ton of money now.
Yep.
Because J.J. McCarthy was a rookie, and at minimum, Sam was going to start the year, and then J.J. got hurt, and boom, pot of gold for Sam Darnold. But this idea that Sam is better than Brock simply because he's taller or what have you, I don't necessarily see that as accurate. Would I love for Brock to grow a couple inches? That would be wonderful. Not going to happen. But
give you some bigger hands too.
Yeah, like to me, a lot. If you want to look around at who's really humming in terms of quarterback rating and putting up a lot of points, this will sound like some sort of an excuse. It's not. This is the way football works. It's a team that has a really high performing offensive line. That's to me what happened to the Niner offense this year. And that to me is a bigger deal than, for example, Christian McCaffrey not being on the field.
I think it's about seven things, and that certainly is one of them. If you want to power rank reasons why the offense took a step back, that certainly would be near the top. I would add in the injuries. You lose Ayuk and you lose McCaffrey. Those are big blows, and you lost Jordan Mason, and you know, you wound up with Debo and Kittle and some rookies and not a lot of offensive weapons that you're used to having. I do think that Shanahan and the scheme need some tweaking because, you know, half the league now runs what he runs. And so a lot of defenses are geared to stop it because you see it a lot more often. So I think Shanahan needs to innovate and do things a little bit differently.
I don't disagree with that at all. Steve Young said over the weekend he needs to reinvent himself, but he has many times before. Like, that's another thing that I think doesn't get enough credit. It's not like Kyle's just running the exact same plays every year. Every few years, I think every coach has to, like, come up with some new wrinkles. And then they have to also tailor it to who they have. And that may be different next year. And this year, part of it was he didn't have who he thought he was going to have. And what you said, which is I do think the league spent the entire offseason diving into this offense, and they came up with some answers.
Yeah.
So now it's on Kyle. Now it's back to you.
Yeah.
Let's go, dude. Like, reinvent yourself. And I have confidence in him doing that because he's done it before.
Yes. I'm a little bit disappointed at what he didn't do this year in terms of a couple things.
Yeah,
one,
that's fair.
He didn't go to the sugar huddle, which is not complete hurry up, but it's a no huddle, and you go to some no huddle to keep the defense honest and you keep him from substituting. You don't do a lot of hurry up. He just methodically would do what he's done. Huddle, run your plays, and I think that, you know, to mix up the tempo would have been a benefit. And the biggest issue, I think, is when teams play man-to-man, and the word is out. You can man up Debo. He's not great against man. And Ricky Pearsall is supposed to be this great route runner and a man beater, and he's had a very quiet second half of the year.
So I give Kyle an offseason to handle that factoid that you just threw out there.
No doubt.
Okay, they're going to man-to-man you. All right, come up with something. I think he will.
Well, find players, too, that are man beaters.
Absolutely.
And you're not going to have Ayuk at least until October, I would imagine, based on the ACL tear.
I don't know. You know what? We should ask next time, next week, let's ask Doc that. I wonder. Because the injury happened in what month? Was it still September?
I want to say October. But
okay. Like, I always feel like ACL, like, I don't know, 10 and a half to 11 a month is not out of the question, right? I mean, Dre Greenlaw did an Achilles here in 10 months.
In 10 months, yep.
Yeah. I wonder. Bob in the city next up. Hi, Bob. You're on with Willard and Dibs. What do you think?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Yeah, I think there's like two or three good points here. Let's see. I think first off, there was a comparison from the 2020 season and this season. We had to have two quarterbacks come in, try to play, and the team faltered. And there were a few injuries, obviously. Garoppolo got injured. This year, the quarterback stayed, but the other guys fell off. So it kind of equals out if you really look at it. So, you know, another thing that drives me crazy is everybody wants to claim all these quarterbacks they want to name, like all world, like the guy from Cincinnati and everything. What is their record? You know, the Niners got a better record, at least equivalent. So, I mean, how come he gets a pass? And then Purdy is like, you know, what, because of stature or something? Do these people remember a quarterback by the name of Pat Hayden? He took his team to the quarterback. I mean, to the Super Bowl, excuse me. But, you know, he was, like, really short. He was, like, 5'8", 5'9", something like that. So, I mean, doesn't matter. It just matters on the heart. Matters on the line. That's really what matters. Can you imagine what we'd be like if we had Bob McKittrick still?
Yeah.
That's a throwback there, Bob. Bob, thank you very much.
So is the Pat Hayden calling.
Yeah.
Pat Hayden was 5'9", but he was the tallest guy on the team. People were shorter back then.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, why does Joe Burrow, quote-unquote, get a pass? Well, let's start with this. They're third in the AFC in scoring. The reason the Bengals are 6-8 is because their defense is god-freaking-awful.
Yep.
And so you don't blame the quarterback as much. And he also, you know, he like Purdy, he's got a resume of where he went to the Super Bowl before. So, I don't know. That's kind of the way, like, I don't give Joe Burrow, I don't think he needs to be given a pass, and I don't think Brock does either. Like, I guess that would be my question as we have this conversation, and if you're just joining us, it's because Tom Pelissero went on with Rich Eisen and stated Brock will expect a top-of-the-market contract. Not necessarily the top, but a top-of-the-market. He will not just accept top 10 because he has the resume to suggest otherwise. And I guess that would be my question for people. Even if I grant you that the last month of Brock Purdy has been bad, why does going to two NFC title games and a Super Bowl not carry more weight when this conversation comes up? That's my question.
When Jennifer Lee Chan today on NBC Sports Bay Area listed all the quarterbacks who make $50 million or more, and she added in their playoff record, and there's only a couple, three or four quarterbacks making that level of money who have as many, if not more, playoff wins than Brock Purdy already with the four. And so that, to me, matters a lot. It means he's on good teams, but it also means that he is a part of winning games in the part of the year that is most important, which is the playoffs.
How good is Doc Pandia?
The best.
Because we don't even need to ask him next week because he hears our conversation and he just texts the answer in.
Well, and I love it because as you were talking, I did my own research.
Yeah, what do you got?
Ayuk got hurt October 21st. And remember, it was ACL and MCL. And I was looking at the average number of days on a return to play for that injury. But I'll leave it to the doc to actually spell it out.
Doc only referenced ACL, but he says average for a wide receiver coming off an ACL in the NFL is 10 months.
Yep.
So if it's October 21st, that puts you at August 21st.
Yep. Which is
2 to 3 weeks before your first game.
Yeah, exactly.
But you bring up a good point with regard to that this was multiple ligaments, and I don't know if that means more time.
Right, and I'm looking at this study.
Doc?
Well, I got this one, Doc.
Okay.
I'm looking at the National Library of Medicine.
Oh,
and the
boy,
mean.
You have fancy internet over there.
It's pretty good over here.
Yeah.
The average days to return to play with that two ligament injury is 308 days.
Okay.
Which is about 10 months.
Okay.
So, but that's returning to play, and then there's a ramp up. So, to expect him to be ready for the season opener is a little bit aggressive.
Does return to play mean return to practice or return to play? Because Dre Greenlaw is playing, but he's been practicing for weeks.
A few weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
I would
on
imagine
some level.
If Ayuk plays in the opener, I'd be surprised, but
I wouldn't be.
I think that he'd be back before October, actually out there.
Yeah.
And again, with an ACL, there is a certain amount of like ramp up where you have to get back to feeling good again.
Sure, they may sort of decide that. Like it tracks right now as someone who will show up to camp and then they ease him in. He's probably not going to play in any preseason games. And then that ramp up process happens and, you know, maybe they get to the down to the nitty gritty and it's like, is he ready to go or could we benefit from sort of like, I don't know, setting up a mock camp for him and start him week two or week three or week four. Sure, something like that could happen. But
yeah.
I don't think it's crazy to think that Brandon will not miss significant time next year.
Agreed.
Off of this.
Assuming that the rehab goes well, and you know, I don't know when he had the surgery because that is really where you start day zero. It's not the injury date, it's the surgery
date. That's a good point, too.
So for me, it becomes more a question of Kyle Shanahan and the offense because what I see this year is teams that have kind of caught on and teams that are able to play man coverage, they were very successful. And I think about that Chicago game, Mark, because the Bears are a team that doesn't play a lot of man, and Brock Purdy carved them up 20 for 25.
Yep.
And then the Rams were doing a combination of zone and man, and they had a really hard time.
The Rams thing still, that whole night and the rain, and it just doesn't add up. It does not add up to me that the Rams and 49ers played a football game and nobody scored a touchdown.
I feel bad complaining about this because you were actually out in the rain,
yeah.
But I'm sitting next to Director of Sports Lucas Alexander, and I'm looking through the press box glass, and right in my line of sight was this gigantic bug. It was like a super mosquito, so I'm trying to watch the game, and I have to lean to the side to get around this bug.
Oh,
the thing was on the window for like three quarters, Lucas.
So wait a minute.
Really inconvenient.
So you got to put a lanyard around your neck.
Oh, yeah.
And go to Thursday night football without any payment from you.
No. I'm angry, Jeff.
That's awesome.
You're taking turns, unlimited free food.
Oh, so good.
And there you are,
yeah.
But it was
you forgot that the heat was on.
And the heat, but it got ruined because of that bug.
Not ruined, but it was just annoying.
I'm sorry you had to deal with that.
Then I looked at your Instagram picture and you and the lovely Christy,
oh my God,
arm in arm, smiling,
soaked.
Lovebirds, drenched.
I go anywhere with that girl.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's raining or not.
Drenched. Yes, I'm a diva.
Apparently.
Damn right.
Try the Cubano sandwich next time you're up there. It's delicious.
Delish. Jose in Oakland. Hi, Jose. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. Come here to home. Dave, let me ask you a quick question. Okay, Sam Darnold, people keep bringing his name up, like, you know, he is better than Purdy. Okay, physically, he is more impulsive, granted, but he was a first-round pick, and he's been in about three or four different teams. How many of those teams has he taken even to a divisional playoff game?
Okay? I would guess
that
zero,
would be,
Jose. Yeah, zero.
Yeah, and that would be my question. Why are people so infatuated with him? It used to be Sam Bradford used to be the same deal. An average quarterback, physically he looked the part, and people kept, you know, bringing up, bring Sam Bradford. The guy was good enough to keep you somewhere in the middle and, you know, make you pick in the teens. This is the first year that we actually see Purdy struggling. Okay, even Tom Brady had a bad year. The team did nothing to better the offensive line, the O-line. Last year, had we had a better O-line, we would have even won the Super Bowl, regardless of the kicker. Okay, so when you really look at the whole thing, I can almost guarantee you the next year, a capable backup is going to cost you between $55 and $60 million. right now, would you say that Purdy is a starter or a backup?
He's a starter, Jose. I didn't know these were rhetorical questions.
And better than many starting quarterbacks that are making way more money than he is. I mean, I wouldn't trade him for Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott might be more imposing physically, but up on his head, he's not there. He's lost it. He's lost confidence, and he's playing really, really bad. This is not the first year. He's been doing it for the past 3 years. So, to people that keep bringing up Sam Bradford, please stop that already. I mean, that's Sam Darnold, excuse me. The guy is a backup. He's always going to be a backup, and he'll stay a backup, even though he was picked up with the first pick of the draft on that year. Okay? Purdy was the last pick. We got lucky. We got him that cheap. Got to pay the man, honestly. For what he's done, you got to pay the man.
Yeah, so Jose, what would you say to someone that says we need to move on from Purdy?
You know what? That's enough for me, dog. Honestly,
No, like, there's nothing more reliable than you, Jose. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jose.
Thank you. Yeah, he's not like...
Sam Darnold is not a backup anymore. He is a starter on a team that is heading for a 12-2 record. Yeah. And if the Minnesota Vikings don't want to give him a big deal, and I understand if they don't, although they're in a little bit of a pickle because...
They're in a very big pickle.
If they win the NFC North and he wins a playoff game or two... Are you really going to be eager to turn it to J.J. McCarthy?
No. But now, what do you do?
The alternative is, yeah. So you give him 3 and 100.
You got to pay him.
And you front load it to where after a year or two, and if the frost comes off the pumpkin, then you can move off of him.
See, but Jose's also not wrong because I don't need to present this as an opinion. It's a fact. Like, I love that people are sitting here making the point of, well, Brock Purdy needs all this stuff around him. We should get Sam Darnold, who's proven, by the way, that if you don't have a lot of good stuff around him, it's a disaster. He's been the starting quarterback for two teams prior to the 49ers, and it didn't work because there was bad stuff around him.
They were terrible teams.
Yes, exactly. But that's not allowed, I'm told, in the world of quarterbacks. You need to elevate everyone around you.
How many quarterbacks actually do that? I would say
very few.
There's maybe two in the league that you could look at, and like Josh Allen. And, you know, we can talk about their weapons. And yesterday's a great example where they got guys scoring touchdowns, and it's like, who? Who's that?
Right.
And I know you know him because you're in four fantasy leagues,
but he's
a guy who's elevating talent around him that's not necessarily elite. And the same thing with Mahomes. Juju Smith-Schuster, a multiple team cast-off, got a touchdown. Xavier Worthy, good player, but not even their number one option.
And Mahomes is not putting up a good statistical year.
Exactly.
He is in terms of the record and the standings. I get it. And a lot of you all know that a lot of those wins have happened in some way sans Mahomes. We got people blocking field goals. We got people not even kicking field goals. We got things banging in off the sidebar. We got all these wins. It's not to take anything away from the Chiefs. They're the best team. I get it. And Patrick is Patrick. So we don't even need to have a conversation there. But I do think we got to look at all of these things through real eyes, which is any quarterback who has not good things happening around him, whether it's injuries to key players or an offensive line that's not blocking well, you're going to produce less.
You're going to struggle.
You're going to produce less. And still, with all of that, if you still go look at Brock's stats, you're still not looking at a bad year.
No.
You're looking at a worse year than what he's had the last two. But he's not having a, quote, bad quarterback year.
And that's
it's
where...
It's sort of like, eh. It doesn't jump off the page at you.
Yeah. I think it's better than eh. But last year was so unbelievably good that we compare it to that. So he goes from a year where it's probably a 97 out of 100 if you graded it based on how he played and how they did. And if this year is an 81 out of 100, well, I mean, he's down 16 percentage points in his grade, but... He's still at 81, and QBR, he's top 10, and you know many of the other metrics, he's still among the leaders, among the top 10 leaders in almost everything.
No doubt. Let's say a lot more people want to weigh in on this, but let's let you hear what Jerry Rice had to say on with Bonte and Joe this morning. He was asked if Purdy can improve.
He can improve if you keep building around him. You got to give him the weapons, and these weapons, they got to produce. Football is a team sport. If the Dallas Cowboys, if they gave Dak Prescott $60 million Brock is going to ask for probably the same amount. Plus, Brock also has taken the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl. Dak hasn't done that. So, you know, it's just about the right time and being in the right position. But he can get better if you keep adding, you know, to the puzzle where this guy doesn't feel the pressure of having to do it on his own on the football field, where you got other weapons out there that can make plays and also take some of that pressure off.
I just wish it wasn't so offensive when people say stuff like that. Like, you got to put stuff around him. Oh, that means he's a weakling who can't elevate other people. No. Like, Joe Burrow being an example already in this conversation, you could argue has the best wide receiver core in the league and had a pair of running backs who both produced this year, an offensive line that is largely, certainly better than they were early in his career. Look at the offensive line in Baltimore. And Lamar is an athletic freak. Understood. Look what Buffalo did and what Kansas City did when they got to the trade deadline.
Look at Philadelphia.
Both of them said, you know what, we better add a plus receiver. Amari Cooper, DeAndre Hopkins. It's not offensive to say a quarterback needs an offensive line and weapons.
Philadelphia's got an unbelievable collection of both.
And Sam Darnold has an incredible offensive line and insane receiving core.
Exactly. And so you look at it just in the Brock part of it, Brock's core and his offensive line last year versus this year. The offensive line is a little bit worse. You haven't had Trent a lot. Your center has struggled, and you have a rookie right guard who's done well, but your left guard hasn't been terrific, and you've had a lot of injuries on the O-line as well. No number one running back and no number one receiver. So those things, and Debo's lost a step, I'll say it. You may not want to, but Debo's not as good as he was last year. The group they had last year, better than the group they had this year. That's fair to say.
Oh, for sure. For that, but yeah, that's not even close.
And the schedule, I do think, is a big part of it. The schedule's been a lot harder.
There's been so many things.
Think about the North. You had to play Minnesota, Green Bay, and Detroit. They're three of the four best teams in your conference. And you had to play all three, and Buffalo, and Kansas City.
Lovely Christy said this to me yesterday. Tell me if this holds any water. She goes, just read off what's happened to the Niners. Just read it. Like we all have,
yep.
That list,
yep.
Of the personal tragedy, the contracts, the injuries, the schedule, all that stuff. Read that off. Now, pretend that that was your fantasy team. You'd be making excuses.
Oh, no doubt.
You would be calling your friends and you'd be like, I'm 4-10, but here's why. I lost my this, and I lost my that,
yep.
And then this guy's wife had a miscarriage, and then this one, and that, like, the contract, you would. And maybe that's just, like, obviously it was a silly conversation.
Right.
But it got me thinking, I'm like, it's not wrong. The Niners have had everything go wrong.
They're not alone, though.
No,
and I think
not.
About Detroit and losing DPOY, and a lot of it happened yesterday.
But that's just the injury part, and I'll agree with you. There are other teams that are just as hurt, but there are a lot of other things that have happened with the Niners as well.
Sure.
A lot of other things that are not injury-related.
And some of them are self-inflicted.
Some of them, yes.
Hold-ins. Agreed. And hold-outs and, you know, all the rest of it. And it's interesting when you think about, like, next year, like, you obviously want to avoid personal tragedy. You hope one of your teammates doesn't get shot in August, for example. You hope that, you know, Trent and Mooney Ward don't suffer unspeakable personal disasters. Those things are just life getting in the way of football. But the things that you can control, a protracted holdout from your number one wideout, and then you cave.
Although, can you control that? Because that's two different parties who both participated in this.
Yes, I do think that you can. And if you take a different tack as a negotiator and you don't try to win every deal. And the reports I was getting were that the price that they could have settled on in March that they didn't want to was lower than what they ended up paying him in August.
I agree with that. They misplayed that. I would argue it was the 49ers' fault that it got to August. It was Brandon's fault that it got to September.
That's fair.
And Brandon said as much.
Well, even
he was like, I was kind of a tough pill to swallow there at the end. I probably didn't need to do that.
And all this goes back to the Brock Purdy question is, if you like the player and they do, and you want to keep the player and they do, and you do want to pay the player and they should, then let's get this thing done before March.
Yeah, I agree. That I agree with you completely on that. Wilson is in the East Bay. Hi, Wilson. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking me, guys.
Yeah, man.
You know, I've kind of absorbed all of this, and I've kind of taken a step back, and I'm kind of a believer, you know, in history and tradition and how successful organizations build long-lasting legacy of winning. And you can go back to the Carmen policy, you know, teams under DeBartolo that ran the table there in the 80s, well into the 90s. You can look at the Patriots, okay, and look at that quarterback who some think he's the greatest of all time. I'm kind of a Montana Jim Brown guy. But the point being, he took less money for many, many years than a lot of other quarterbacks. Meanwhile, Belichick is fitting those players in, trading, but he kept a solid foundation on both sides of the line. My feeling is with Brock Purdy is he's a very intelligent, pragmatic guy, okay? And he saw the failures this year with the guys signing, you know, for the big bags, and they were not a factor, you know? And I think, it's just my feeling, I think he'll go in there at 55 to 60 with 200 guaranteed over 5 years. This thing is going to get out of hand in the next couple of years anyway. You're going to have some of these great guys, quarterbacks, they're going to be disgruntled, and they're going to want to go more. And that's going to up the ceiling there. But I think Brock Purdy will probably say, you know what? If he's looking back on history, I need a good foundation. I need a good line. You know, we need a good defense. You know, and even though I might be taking a little bit less than some of these other quarterbacks, in the long run, I still got generational money, and look what I got to work for, and I think my future will benefit from this. Well, anyway, that was my point.
Yeah, Will, thanks. I mean, we'll see. First of all, he's not getting $200 million guaranteed. That would be the second highest quarterback guarantee in the history of the game, behind Deshaun Watson, and I think that contract is a set-aside, and teams know. Like, if I'm Brock, it's a little, like, I'm with Will in terms of how I would think about it, but it's a conversation. If this is truly a healthy relationship, and I have no reason to believe that right now it's not, if I'm Brock, I go to the 49ers, and I say, let's talk about the room that you have. Let's talk about what I deserve, but let's also talk about what we as a group need in order to be good. And I would hope that those conversations happen in an upfront way so that people aren't fooling each other and pulling a fast one and all that. Like, yes, I would think about, can we do this? Can we fit an offensive line? How can we sort of build our weaponry? But also, yeah, you got to take care of me. You have to take care of me. And there are a number of ways to do that. As we said earlier, it's not black and white of just numbers of 60 a year, let's move on. It's about guarantees. It's structure. About front-loading structure. Yep. There are ways to do this. And I think it's on both parties to have that conversation and do it.
Yeah, and I think the easiest part is, do you want my client to be your quarterback? I think that's already well known on both sides. They want him. He obviously wants to be here, so now it comes down to just that structure.
Possibly.
And I don't think that Brock is going to look for the eye-popping, I need to be the highest average annual guy. For me, it just comes down to what works for you, Niners, in terms of structure. Because my client, he's worth probably 50 to 60 million a year, maybe a little bit more. Whatever that number is, it doesn't matter. If it's 5 years and 55 million per, that's 265. So 5 and 265, now we're looking, or actually 5 and 275, Joe Burrow, and the actual guarantee he got was 146.
Brother, I think about it this way too. I mean, when you're looking, so you're asking the right question, right? Do you want him to be your quarterback? You watch NFL teams and us fans, we brainlessly accept that someone will pay the massive contract to their quarterback just because we sort of think they're kind of good, like they're a top half of the league QB. And we don't even blink on that with zero evidence that that player can win late in the season. Meantime, like Trevor Lawrence, nobody even blinked. Nobody blinked. And while I'm a huge Jordan Love fan, Okay. Jordan Love, 55 a year. Brock just beat him in January. Jared Goff, I know, yeah, okay, that's a bad example. He went to a Super Bowl, but not with this generation of his group. And so we could go around the league, all of these dudes getting paid. And Kyler Murray, great example. No evidence that anything good can happen in January or February. But we're just like, well, yeah, it's Kyler Murray. Meantime, here's little old Brock. He'd never been through a season where he doesn't at least end up in the NFC title game. And so many of us are acting like, why on earth would you pay that untalented stiff? It's a lot of the other guys where we should be. The Derek Carrs of the world, the Kirk Cousins of the world, the Kyler Murrays of the world, the Dak Prescotts of the world. Those are your questions.
Well, Derek Carr's contract actually is reasonable.
Now?
Well, 37 and a half a year.
When it was signed, though, it was a massive deal.
It's big. And I'm looking at the guaranteed at signing numbers. And in order, I'll read off the names and you can just, you know, comment on their playoff pedigree. Okay. Deshaun Watson is number one.
None.
Joe Burrow is number two.
Been to a Super Bowl.
Trevor Lawrence is three.
None.
Lamar Jackson is four.
Disappointing.
This should be the year, part four. Justin Herbert is five.
None. No playoff wins.
Dak Prescott is six.
Zippo.
Jared Goff. Nothing with his current team.
Mixed bag, but well, and moved through the playoffs last year.
Jalen Hurts is eighth.
Went to a Super Bowl.
Kyler Murray is ninth.
Zippo.
Jordan Love.
One playoff win.
And then Josh Allen is 11th.
Who has done some things but not gotten to the Super Bowl.
Those are your quarterbacks with more than $100 million guaranteed at signing. And Brock Purdy will be the next one in that group.
Yeah.
And he's done as much as all of them in the playoffs.
Right. Right.
He's done what Burrow and Goff has done, which is go to the Super Bowl and lose.
That's my thing. We got to stop making this about who's the most talented and the tallest and the strongest arm. It's about who can you win with. And you can make a fair case for all of the names that you just laid out. But the Niners have already proven that they can win with this guy. We're sponsored by Barry of Fast Track. On January 1st, tolls on the Antioch Bridge will go up $1. Don't wait for the invoice. Pay tolls automatically with Fast Track. Most convenient way to pay tolls, get started at BayAreaFastTrack.org. A lot more want to weigh in, so we'll keep going with this. 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibs.
Baby.
Now, back to
Will and Diddy
on 95.7 The Game.
Ooh-wee. A lot more I want to weigh in. We'll go right back to it. But, Dibs, it's time for Triples for Autism. Brought to you by Petinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. If you know what we do and what the Warriors do with Triples for Autism, there probably should be like two or three donations tonight. Is what I'm thinking.
Ridiculous.
They need to make at least 10 three-pointers for a donation.
In a quarter?
No, in a game.
Oh.
Number three.
They need to make at least 10. Last night they made 27. 27 three-pointers last night means another donation from Petinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. Okay? That's the fourth donation of the season for Triples for Autism. Steph made 7. Draymond had 5.
Love it.
Wiggins had 5. Lindy Waters made 4. Buddy Hield had 3. Kuminga 2. Pods made a 3. 27 made 3s. Ties a Warriors franchise record for the most made 3s in a game. It also marked the first time in NBA history a team made 27 or more 3s and lost. By double digits at that. Teams making 27 plus threes in a single game are now 11-1 all time.
My God.
In the history of the league. To make a donation to Autism yourself or to get involved, we would love it if you do. Go to sfautismsociety.org. That was Triples for Autism, brought to you by Petinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Petinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PetinelliFP.com.
The Warriors have made 10 or more threes 24 of 25 games this year. That's pretty awesome.
And actually, I feel like the one where they didn't, they had 9.
Correct. Yeah. And it was a win.
There
it was
go.
A win. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was kind of rude to our partners at Pettinelli and the odds system society. It's like, dude, make one more. Come on. Right?
Yep.
But anyway, made up for it last night. All right, we're talking out Brock Purdy. These comments from Tom Pelissero.
If a deal is going to get done, I would anticipate it is at the top of the quarterback market for all the reasons that I just said. Right now, that Stacks number, that is $60 million per year. Mm. Are the 49ers willing to go to that? Or are they going to be in a situation where you could have a standoff with your starting quarterback into the offseason here? I mean, there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered here. There's no reason really for Brock Purdy to take a submarket deal at this stage. You know, the worst case would be, you know, he could always play it out. Lamar Jackson did that once upon a time. You gain even more leverage by doing that. Brock also hasn't made as much money as Lamar by virtue of being a seventh round draft pick. But I don't think this is a, hey, we're going to make you the 10th highest paid quarterback, and Brock Purdy just saying, hey, where do I sign? Based upon his production, based on the playoff success, I'm sure he feels like he deserves to be paid at the top of the market.
Yeah, and look, we'll see. This doesn't need to be some sort of like contentious thing. We'll see if it gets there. I would just remind everybody who looks at the last month and goes, Brock's not worth 60. Okay, I might even agree with you. But I also think, for example, Brandon's not worth 30, and we could do this with a bunch of players around the league. And I just think that if Brock Purdy and his agent get into these conversations, they've got a pretty good point. They're going to have a hard point for the 49ers to battle against. If he says, I'd like to be paid with the likes of Dak Prescott and Trevor Lawrence, tell me why I shouldn't. That's a hard argument. If I were in debate class, I'd be like, oof. that's going to be tough.
Well, the only real weapon that the team has is not how good Brock Purdy has played. It's the fact that he still is under contract. And if you want to go down that road, that becomes a slippery slope of playing chicken with the most important player on your team and the most important position in football. It's one thing to do it with your wide receiver when you had already drafted a wide receiver in the first round and you had Debo and you passed the ball the 32nd most in football. So you're not that reliant on a receiver. So you could play that game with Ayuk. You can't play that with a quarterback.
No.
You can, but it's not advisable.
That's the thing also. You don't want to mess with this. You do not want to mess with this. This is your franchise. Let's hear from Gene in Oakland. Hi, Gene. Thanks for the call.
Hey, fellas. Hey, first off, I got a question for you guys. I don't want you to answer it now, but since you mentioned the Warriors, I'd like to know who you think has been the best player in the Warriors up to this point. But I want to talk about Purdy. Listen, you know, I've been one of his biggest, maybe his biggest supporter out here from the beginning. I was on board with this guy from his, you know, the first game he started when he played against Tampa Bay and basically embarrassed, Tom Brady. I called him the next day. I said, I think this is our starter going forward. And I remember Bonte saying, isn't it a little too soon? I said, I don't know. I just have a good feeling for him. But unfortunately this year, I think this year is, unveil some of his shortcomings, no pun intended. But, you know, particularly in this last game, here's what concerns me moving forward with Brock. He has problems playing in the elements. Now, the last game was miserable. Both quarterbacks had a lot of trouble in the first half. But one quarterback figured it out and played well, and the other one, ours, didn't. So that's a concern, all right? You got to be able to play in the elements in this league. The other is, you know, making critical decisions, you know, do or die decisions at critical times, and then being able to carry through. He made arguably the worst decision in that game, which essentially cost us the season. He threw that interception when he should have eaten the ball and thrown it away. You know, that was a huge, huge mistake. You know, we were in field goal.
Yeah, it was long field goal, but yes.
But close. So we would have tied the game. That would have changed the tenor. So anyway, so let me finish here. If he demands top dollar, I think we need to consider other options, particularly free agents. And I wouldn't be too quick to dismiss Sam Darnold. All right. And I go back to what a friend of mine, very, very knowledgeable gentleman, I might have mentioned this before, you know, from a big Jets fan from the beginning. He's loved this dude. And he said, back in the day when he was playing and struggling with the Jets, he said, if you ever put a strong team around him, Sam Darnold will show what he can do, all right? And sure enough. So,
well, Gene, let's play that out. Let's play it out for a sec. Gene, thanks very much. Let's just for fun, since I like some people want to bring this up, let's play it out, okay? Brock Purdy goes into this offseason. Nothing crazy happens over these last three games. Whatever, he plays. Maybe they win one or two, whatever. And you go into this offseason, and he would like an extension. And he is set to make $1.1 million next year. Now, you, the 49ers, don't like what he's asking for. So instead of signing him to an extension, you say, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to go into free agency. And you are now going to immediately probably spend somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 million that you weren't going to spend this year on the quarterback room because Brock only makes one. You're going to spend $30 million new dollars.
Yeah, this year, you're
to
right.
To bring Sam Darnold right back to the same quarterback room he was in last year, but flip the roles. You are going to bench Brock Purdy going into next year, but keep him because he's under contract. He's only making $1 million. You're going to keep him as a backup and spend $30 million that you weren't planning to spend. And imagine that's probably over the next 2 to 3 years because Sam will command that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're going to pitch that to your locker room. How we doing? For the group that thinks last year was awkward.
Well, in last year, they both were in camp, and Brock beat him out. If there was a competition, and I believe there always is a competition.
That's interesting.
Brock was ahead of him on the depth chart. If Sam was better than Brock last year going into it, maybe it's because of Brock's elbow or whatever it was, they would have played Sam Darnold. If Brock wasn't ready physically or Sam was better. So Brock beat Sam out, and now after a year, and Sam is doing great in Minnesota and Brock not as well. Now you're going to bring him back and flip the roles? No, you're not going to be able to sell out to the locker room.
That's a pretty tough putt. And by the way, they did, I'm sure, when they signed Sam, there was the thought we might need him at least at the beginning of the year.
Right.
They didn't know what was going on elbow-wise. And we found out after the fact that Brock was playing through some pretty significant stuff at the beginning of the year, but he fought through it.
And we may find out this year that the shoulder is a bigger issue than what he's been letting on.
Maybe.
And, you know, I do think that when they look back at this year, one thing that Kyle Shanahan will impart to him will be, you know, I think you gave up too many easy free plays at the risk of trying to do too much. That, for me, is my biggest criticism of Brock. Not that he's not seeing it, but I think that he's trying for too many big bites of the apple where there are plays you could just settle for.
Yeah, it has been an odd, you know, because his whole calling card has been decision-making. And then this year, it's called into question mainly with plays like what we saw against the Rams the other night, but also just with how quickly he's decided to tuck it and run. He'd been running for his life out there and early in the year was throwing the ball downfield a lot more than we were used to. And I don't know if that was in any way by design or if it was just that Brock, like you're saying, is he pressing? Was he trying to live up to this, that, or the other? Similar to the pods conversation we had earlier. Do you want to do this again tomorrow?
Yeah, it was fun today.
All right. Guess what's coming up?
I know what's coming up.
What do you think's coming up?
It's the Grandy Man can and does. No Grandy Man?
Nope.
Gucci!
Now we're talking. It's Warriors Roundtable, you crazy people. And it's Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean.
Hello, fellas.
Oh, we're standing by. And it's all brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for all the engagement. We appreciate it. For Dibs, for Granny, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.